Yeah. Check. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling in flare. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursue.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio, once again with your host Nick Burnaby here on UCY.TV. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so make sure you guys check us out. I'm also joined by my co-host DB Schwartz. How's it going?
Doing good. We're just doing it mobily for the second here, and again got NSA'd on the laptop again. I think this thing's just crawling with like Intel backdoors, and I mean, maybe you need to get rid of Internet Explorer on there because that might be killing it.
No, well, I'm not using Internet Explorer. It's like the Skype app. I mean, we go to call in and this thing just freezes up on us. But we're working on getting it to connect right. But meanwhile, we're here on the connected on the phone, so the audio may not be exactly the greatest. But you know. There was also that big breach in the Apple software as well, and there was all this man in the middle, whatever that stuff. I mean, I don't know exactly what that is, but you know, anyone with an Apple product was open to be hacked. You know, and unfortunately, I'm one of those people. So I mean, who knows what happened? But
well, the interesting thing too is when it was found out that Intel, the chip maker, basically had provided a convenient backdoor for them as one of the conditions to be the official chip maker for the U.S. government contracts, right? Because that's – you're talking about millions of computers a year that are replaced, upgraded, et cetera. There's a reason why Intel is now absolutely dominating the market, whereas before, you know, at least there was some competition with AMD, but that's just gone now. I mean, you see their market share just drastically sinking. I'm sure, you know, you can look at video card makers too, like allowing access into. So who knows, man? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, this is just the stuff that we know is going on. And you know, Greenwald just released some more Snowden leaks this week. And it's just more information which confirms this whole sock puppet ordeal which has been going on, and basically what you have is these NSA snoops infiltrating forums, infiltrating social media, going in and commenting on articles, things like that, in order to hijack information, hijack conversations, change momentum, shift momentum. I mean, if you look at the leaks, this stuff is highly scientific. Psychology, you know, these guys that are running these sock puppet profiles are probably psychology masters. You know, yep, what I mean? They've probably gone to the bet. These guys are probably farmed out of Harvard and places like that.
Yep.
And they bring these people in literally to quell or start up shit.
Well,
they start shit and they stop shit.
It's psychological manipulation on a grand scale, on a mass scale. It's far beyond propaganda now. It's to the point of using, you know, EMF waves to be able to control brain waves and doing it at night over the population while they're asleep, aka dreamland, where they control you subconsciously and start to affect things as a mass culture way, even when you're not consuming culture, because they cannot reach everyone if everyone's not watching TV, radio, and all the other goodies. So, yeah, I mean, me and you who consciously don't even watch stuff, we're getting bombarded at night. You know, there may be only a few things that it's stopping, you know, me and you from being massively affected by these crazy technologies, you know. So it's the same stuff you can do decalcify your pineal gland. It's the same thing that shields your mind from a lot of these coercive kind of crazy wave technology warfare they do, you know, on the population at large, and they don't even know about it.
Yeah, man. I mean, they've been doing it for the longest time too. I mean, this predates World War II. Many people would say that World War I was the first big psyop. The way that the leaders, Woodrow Wilson and all the people, all of his handlers, you know, this is the same guy that created the Federal Reserve, you know, that signed in the Federal Reserve into law. I mean, you know, a lot of people will tell you that they used a lot of that psychology to trick the Americans into supporting World War One. I mean, look how pointless World War One was. Look what it did. How much land actually changed hands during World War One? The lines only moved like 20, 30 miles, you know, the trenches.
Right.
Millions of people died. And then it all of it ended up leading to the rise of Hitler.
Right.
I mean, it was a total fail. And a bunch of Americans died. After World War One, there was a huge, they call it isolationist. You know, people were like, okay, no more wars. And that's why people were so, you know, we didn't want to get into World War Two. We knew what was going on, but at the same time, people didn't want to get into it because they still remembered World War One.
Right. I mean, World War One decimated France. It basically knocked out literally their entire male population that could have come of age to train anyone or be part of any fighting in World War Two, which is why they got completely rolled over by the Panzer divisions. They just didn't even have enough people to mount any kind of resistance. So, yeah, it was the bankers' war that started it all. It ushered in the Federal Reserve. Remember that World War One started in 1914, and the Federal Reserve was created in 1913. You know, there's a reason for that. The same reason why that the end of the Vietnam War culminated with us leaving the gold standard. Because we realized the only way to win future wars was going to be through overwhelming technology, and we needed to be able to go to a fiat system to acquire that technology. And you start to see how all of these are banker wars, all of these are geopolitical and long-term strategic wars. One leads into another, and anything that's a perceived loss, it's never real. It's only there to make people buy into the hysteria and the paranoia and pump more and more and more into the military-industrial complex to the point now where, if you look at it on paper, it's over $700 billion. But really, what is it? $2, $3, $4, $5 trillion maybe, with all the black ops, the drug moving. I mean, who knows?
All right, we got the other mic up now, so we're going to switch over. Give us like 5 seconds here, guys. Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. We got the mic fixed and everything. So I just want to remind you guys, check out UCY, UCY.tv, bookmark the site. If this is your first time listening, make sure you guys bookmark and check back like daily. I mean, there's good shows on. Every day there's some good journalists, radio shows, good information, you know, cutting edge stuff, breaking stuff. And of course, you're going to get a different view from what you're seeing in the mainstream. And, you know, we all know the mainstream media has to go, and slowly but surely, like, it's happening. We see the numbers starting to shift. They've been shifting. The new technologies are happening. The new organizations, the grassroots efforts are paying off in the media. We're seeing it. There's media movements popping up here, popping up there, UCY, theantimedia.org, our site, you know, all the social media teams and efforts, cooperative efforts, man, and it's really paying off. And I think, you know, we always talk about cooperatism and stuff, right? And it's we're starting to see it pay off already in the media, you know. So we're already starting to tell that it's a working model, you know, something that works. You know, we work together, and we all understand that in the end we need to destroy the media as we know it.
And what a great way to segue into the good old Annapolis police chief, who, you know, it's got to tell you something when a police chief cites a satire website as fact, that even in his mind, who's the biggest corporate lackey there is, right? A guy that basically literally orders men to beat up guys because they're against the status quo. Even this guy doesn't trust the mainstream media. He quoted a satire site. I mean, if that's not the most telling thing, then I don't know what there is. You know what I mean? What are we going to have next? Hillary Clinton's going to start, you know, saying, hey, you know what? The Onion said I'm a great front runner. I mean, what are we going to get to?
That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah, and I mean, this is just, it just goes to show, one, it goes to show that there really are really dumb people in these police position. This guy's the chief, dude. This guy is like supposed to be the top dog, you know. At least he should have some kind of intelligence. But he's sitting there citing this fake story out of the Daily Current, which basically on the first day that these marijuana stores opened in Colorado, this website wrote an article saying that 37 people died from overdosing on marijuana, and the guy literally believed it, you know. And it just goes to show, it's like, who are these people that are in charge of you know, our rights and making sure that things are going according to the law? You know, unfortunately, most of the time when we see these incidences on film where the cops are doing some dumb things, it's not the person that's being arrested. You know, he's not breaking the law. At least he's not breaking a valid law. But it's the cop, on the other hand, which is denying people of their rights, you know, which is, you know, our rights are the highest, it's supposed to be the highest thing in this society. Those are our rights. And when people violate our rights, when people deny us of our rights, it's a major crime. But these cops, just because they have a badge, they get away with all these different crimes, killing people, beating people up, kidnapping people. You know, if regular people were doing it, it'd be called kidnapping.
Right, and it will be. I mean, if I hope that, you know, these police officers who are part of this, now I would say it's kind of in phase two of the police state, which is now the brutality coercion phase, where they want to get the citizenry riled up so that they can have justification to clamp down with this pretty much, you know, ex-military equipped police state. I mean, you're talking about sheriffs with tanks. I mean, we have stupid stuff like that. We're going to have to contend with the citizenry with our pesky little AR-15 army are going to have to go against these dumb shits with advanced technology. Now, here's the thing. We can stop it in the tracks. We really can, but we have to do it right now. We have to demand right now that all these surplus military vehicles be given to a National Guard and have a militia set up. And we have to make sure that cops are disarmed and have video cameras on them at all times. And that anything they have without video backup is inadmissible in court. Even if it's just a technical glitch. No proof that you didn't fuck over our citizenry, no crime. The burden's on you. you're a servant, a supposed peace officer, and you're a servant to the people, not a corporate lackey. If we don't get back to that and we allow them to just continue this, and then they get the drone army in the air, there will be no, and I mean no amount of AR-15s that will do shit.
Yeah, man, it's pretty insane to see these little towns, you know, with these massively built up, militarized police forces, with these, I don't know if you've seen all these guys in the all black that came out. They were at Anaheim when there was that unrest from when the cops killed all those guys. But they're all blacked out. They're in full on military gear. They've got rifles. They've got shotguns. They've got basically tanks, helicopters. I mean, and then they have drones too, you know? So it's like, why this massive, massive buildup at the police level?
You know, well, and it's
telling, you know, and it's just another sign that keeps pointing towards this reality that there's going to be some kind of big time trouble, some kind of big time civil unrest because of something happening. I don't know what it's going to be. I mean, we can speculate, and most, you know, chances are it's going to be economic.
Chances are it'll be a concert of things all at one time. Otherwise, they won't be able to push through their agenda, which is total control. I mean, if they collapse the banking system, but there's still some semblance of sanity out in the streets, even though people can't get their money, well, that's just not going to work. They're going to cut power, food, and banking all at the same time. Then they're going to bring in troops from other countries and mop it up and try to concentrate everyone into the camps as much as they can or into the big cities so they can keep them quarantined, so to speak. And the justification is going to be, you know, the mother of all false flags. It's what we're all expecting, right? So when it does happen, people like me and you that know what's up, well, we're going to need to tell people that don't know what's up what to do and then act accordingly. Because we know it's coming. We know it is. People that are in the know have been preparing for years.
Yeah, man. And it's like, you know, one thing that we don't think about as often is the state of our electronic currency. I'm not talking about Bitcoin. I'm talking about people's debit cards and things like that and all these automatic payments. That's another big part of the control grid as well, you know, because if they shut down your card, then, you know, that's, you're pretty much screwed because most people have a lot of things attached now. Instead of paying bills through the mail, most people aren't paying that many bills through the mail. They're doing a direct payment system, you know, with their debit card. And that is another reason to keep thinking about looking at alternative currencies and mixing, just mixing currencies, at least with the cash that you have basically on hand. I mean, I don't want to sit here and give you investment advice, but with whatever it is you have on hand, make sure it's diversified. Not, you know, have a little bit of cash, have a little bit in the bank, have a little bit in silver coins, have a little bit in gold coins, whatever it is you can do, have a little bit in some other alternative currency that, you know, who knows? Currency can be, you could use anything as currency.
And if you're paycheck to paycheck, start getting canned food and bottled water. No, seriously, just start stockpiling it. If you're a paycheck to paycheck person and it's not going to be something where you can diversify some kind of funds, just buy food and water and have it sitting just in case. Because when this stuff pops off, if you don't have that stuff and you need to go get it, you don't have a lot of people with guns around you, it's going to be very difficult to be safe. I just really think it will. I looked at what Argentina went through in 2000 when their currency collapsed, but they still had their infrastructure functioning. See, it was just that hyperinflation hit, but water still ran. Electricity was still on. But for the globalists to push the agenda they want, they have to have everything all hit at one time. They just have to. So you have to be ready for that because it's the only way it'll work for them. And if they can't have those things work for them, then maybe eventually we'll see these gigantic banker trials like we're all expecting to come out on the other end if they can't push through something to make a giant distraction. And I swear, the last day and a half, it's been just nothing but a media distraction circus, especially with this stupid bill 1062 in Arizona that Brewer just vetoed. We can talk about that because, my God, is this Circus Maximus we're looking at here? we just opened the biggest can of worms that there's going to be endless trials and public discourse about something that doesn't even matter. Because in the end, guess what? If somebody says, I don't want you in my place of business and you are a homosexual, take your business to somewhere that does and they'll go out of business. They really will. If you look at who has the buying power in this country, you'd be surprised.
Well, I'll tell you who has the buying power. The majority, it's the, I mean, at the bottom level, at the consumer level, it's the main buying power lies in whatever the majority of people think, right? Well, if a business were to come out openly and say, oh, we're going to be racist, or we're going right. to be against a certain religion, or we're going to be against someone of a certain sexual orientation. I mean, there could be places that come out and say, hey, we don't want straight people coming to our joint. Sure. You know, I mean, and
you won't last.
Yeah. and see, that the thing is that left to all things being like in a vacuum, that kind of stuff just wouldn't fly anymore. But nowadays, it's just become this whole political arena where they use it to just bait. They use it to just bait and divide, yep. and keep everyone. Oh, this is what you do. You set the argument where it's like, oh, well, the businesses should be able to decide, and then the other side of it's no, they shouldn't be able to say that those right. kind of people can't be in the store. And so what you do is you shift. What they're doing is they're shifting the debate in the country instead of whether. We should be the policemen of the world, and whether we should be having this huge giant police state with cops that are killing people left and right,
right.
and whether we should be having this huge dragnet spying on every single person's personal life.
Which is so inefficient, really. It's not going to prevent an uprising of any sort anyway. The people at the top that think a spy grid will do anything is an asinine notion.
Meanwhile, while this thing's making headlines, what did they just do? The Supreme Court just basically said that if the cops come to your house and they want to come into your house, and there's one person in the house that says that they don't that the cops should come in, then the cop gets to immediately waltz into your house and immediately arrest whoever it is that's saying that they don't want them to come in.
And whoever,
I get it, under extreme situations where it's a domestic arrest, where sure. there's a domestic violence and the cops show up and the guy and the girl are arguing. And the guy's like, I don't want you in the house. And the girl says, yes, please come in. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's what the law was made for. But again, as always, with this very professional legal ease and all this perfectly worded stipulations in the bills, it's got an amazingly broad definition that will be abused for exactly what you think it's going to be, which is let's recruit turncoats within the American family. Let's get Johnny Patriot, who's a moron and from public education in Florida and GMO'd out of his mind and just turned 18 to say, Mom and Dad, smoked a joint. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to show up and say, can we enter? And when Johnny Football says, yeah, you can enter, I'm a good patriot, I believe in the DEA or whatever else. Guess what? Mom and Dad are arrested. Anybody else who protests is arrested. They're going to search the house. And this is going to be the poetic justice of it all. You really think he's getting immunity? Nope, he's an accessory. He accessorized himself. He legally blonded himself. Because they're not going to take it easy on you. It's not about that. It's not about making people into patsies and rewarding and all that other. It's just pure prosecution, naked rage against a citizenry they're scared of, man. They have to be paranoid about it to pass these increasingly draconian laws.
And then you gotta, this is when you know this is how you know it's a distraction. And of course we knew it was a distraction, but this is how you can prove it. The governor didn't even sign the bill.
No.
Okay, so what was all this stuff for? Absolutely nothing.
Okay. Well, she vetoed it.
But I'll tell you what it was for. It what it does is it grabs a big moment. It grabs all the momentum of the headlines and all the public opinion of the country and shifts it into this thing that they're doing just to inflame tensions. You know, and then you establish a divide and you draw a line down the middle of it. And then you have these people arguing against each other and attacking each other. And then people make Facebook posts and then their friends are like, no, you're wrong. And then their friends are like, yes, yes. No, no, the other person's right, you know. It's like making the whole debate is just wrong. We should be talking about that kind of stuff, like, at this point in time. If anybody is actually still if people are still discriminating against other people, like, that should be left to the community to expose that and just get rid of that.
Well, you know,
because we're at a point now, and especially with this whole millennial generation and stuff, we are the most when it comes to social policy, libertarian minded generation, like, ever in this country.
Right.
You know, and we all have friends that smoke weed. We all have friends that are homosexual. We all have friends that are this, that, and the other thing. You know, and we all accept everybody and everybody doesn't. Nobody really cares whether one person's like that or like this or like that. We all just like each other for who we are, right?
Basically, yeah.
So, you know, we shouldn't be looking at the government to be settling this stuff anymore.
You know, what is, people forget the purpose of the government, which is to make paperwork efficient so that the country can run according to what it can be sustainably allowed to create and trade for resource-wise. That's what a government is. It's an administrative agency. And now we look at it as the be-all, end-all, because statism has won. That's what it is. It is the new religion. The new religion is authority. Because there are so many flocks of what we like to call sheeples. So many flocks of people that will just buy into whatever ideology feels warm and fuzzy to them and they grew up hearing and all the nonsense they've heard. But the best thing about the internet is that the free flow of information has killed that. Because if you're a guy in Alabama and your parents are diehard morons and you watch, you know, all kinds of shows from around the world on the internet, and you talk to people from all around the world on the internet, and you're exposed to things that you never would have been 20 years ago, you're not the same guy no matter where you grew up. Those persuasions, they just die. They're dying from this generation, and I'm seeing children now basically calling out their teachers in class like, you're an idiot. I just Googled that, and that was bullshit. Like, that stuff's happening on the daily now because even third graders have smartphones.
We gotta start getting some of these kids, dude. We find them on YouTube and we'll contact them. We'll get them on our show.
I mean, are you smarter than the third grader? No. They have a smartphone. And you don't know how to use one as quick as they do. So they're smarter than you. I mean, that's the truth of it. So,
you think that adults are rebellious, man. Kids are rebellious, dude. And when they go to school and they don't like it, they're gonna make those teachers pay for it, dude. And they're gonna make that school pay for it.
Well, yeah.
And it sucks because it's not the teacher's fault. It's not the school's fault. I mean, if anything, under the right conditions, the teacher should be making a shitload more money than they are now.
Well, I mean, but yeah,
the bureaucracy has weighed down the school system now, where it's just become a bunch of numbers of people, and now everything's becoming standardized. You know, it's all becoming this cookie cutter nonsense where it's more of a brainwashing apparatus than it is educational.
But the backlash is coming because parents that are mid to late 20 somethings and even mid to late 30 somethings are part of that millennial generation. We got exposed to different ideas, even if it was at the tail end of our educations. Traditionally, meaning in high school and college, I mean, I was on the internet in high school. And when a teacher told me to do something, and I read something in a book, and then found contradictory information online and wondered why, and then found out how school books and textbooks are created, and how they all basically run through Texas, and it's all Common Core, and it's all right-wing religious bullshit. Well, then you find out why all our students at public schools are more or less being dumbed down. They're just being exposed to ideas that just don't pass muster. And the ones that have access to the internet and technology at home are having vastly different educations than people that don't. I mean, that much is obvious when you talk to somebody who has a computer at home and a kid has access to it. They're in a different world. They know more than me and you could have ever known at that age.
Yeah, man, and imagine you get these people that are teachers that are passionate about teaching kids and stuff. And you unleash, instead of control them, you unleash them, dude. And you allow the teachers to use internet and utilize all these tools, man. Like, it's like, look, all these communication ideas are being invented. All this technology, Skype, you know, Google Hangouts, all these apps and stuff why not allow the teachers to utilize all this stuff, you know, and allow them to expand all these ideas with the kids. So these kids are already versed in the next generation type technology and stuff. That's where, I mean, if we're trying to raise kids to become, to you know, basically what the school system tells you now is like, you know, go to school, go to college, and then you get a good job and you make good money. I mean, that's basically what it's about. You go and you make good money. Well, if that's the case, shouldn't they be like raising these kids like about like economy and about like future technology and all this cool internet stuff that's happening right now? But they don't, because it would unleash information, and then you would end up with kids. There would be a lot of kids that are going to be going off on their own research.
Right.
And they don't want that. They want them all on the same stuff. They want them all on this limited spectrum of the debate, of the whole thing. Right. They only show you a little piece of the pie.
But our generation is massively frightening to the people in charge that have been in charge for thousands of years, because that's really what it is. The bloodlines have trickled down, and they're still pretty pure for the most part. And we represent the largest generation ever. There's more people within this millennial generation than have ever been mass produced at one time. And we all are exposed to all of the information. The only reason there hasn't been a worldwide revolution yet is because people are bred and circused out of their minds and have all these distractions. And basically, for the most part, unless you live in a really, really awful part in the world, you can eat fairly well. So we make a lot of food worldwide, and most people are fed well enough to quell violence. But it can only last so long. You can either censor the internet eventually, which I'm sure they'll try to do, or you can admit that, well, we've been real messed up for all these years. We're going to give the power over to you. Please don't kill us. What do you think they're going to do? They're at a point of no return, because enough people know about them, but not enough to do something yet. And that wave will only grow and grow and grow unless they can come up with some kind of fantabulous technology. And I just don't think they have it, or they would have tried to use it. And I think they're far away from it.
Yeah, well, they're victim of their own bureaucracy, man. And just like any government is, you know, governments always collapse themselves. So what's happening now is especially now, I give anything to bet you, dude, that as far as recent recruits for the NSA, I don't think anyone with the brain's trying to join the NSA right now. And believe me, the NSA is probably trying to hire people all the time. And they're always trying to scoop up, farm these kids out of these colleges that are the top, you know, brightest. And maybe before they could actually get away with that. Maybe they recruited Edward Snowden, you know, out of college, because they were like, oh, dude, his professor, you know, these professors will let people, they'll let these companies know that when they have a student that's highly gifted, they'll send out, you know, they'll send out to some of their contacts, hey, they'll send it out to their Boeing to their guy at Boeing. Hey, I got this engineer, man. He's like extremely brilliant. And so Boeing will come in, offer him a couple hundred grand right off the, you know, right out of college, and bring this guy in. And these are like rock star scientists, dude.
Right.
You know, and that's what the NSA did with Edward Snowden. That's how they got him. Right. Now, right now, do you think anyone's joining the NSA? I don't think so.
I mean, the thing is, it's bad for your health. It really is. It's bad for your health to do things that are hurting everyone else but the tiny, tiny, little, tiny, little top of the pyramid. Because those people don't care about you and will kill you if they can and would. And we've seen it by all these bankers being suicided, that it doesn't matter how valuable you think you are in society and what your advanced degree is. You're just collateral damage if anything were to be inconvenient about you. If you were to know a little bit too much or talk to the wrong person in some way, I mean, if these mega, mega rich bankers are getting offed, what makes you think a scientist, regardless of how brilliant he is, wouldn't have his entire family taken out in front of his eyes just to prove the point, right? This is the ruthless world we live in. So the recruitment is gone. It's gone. Why in your right mind, if you were a brilliant person, would you ever want to put you and your family into the line of fire?
Yeah, man. And, you know, we got now the other prong of this thing which we talked about a bit earlier with the electronic processing, which is a huge thing. But the whole banking system could very well possibly go under. And I hate to say this, and I don't want to scare anybody about this, you know, but it's just one of those things where you should always be prepared for it, whether or not it comes true. But now this ninth banker has just been found dead, suicide, supposedly. And this guy is in Scottsdale, Arizona. You know, and it's I don't know, man. It's weird that all these guys are committing suicide. This is the ninth guy in the matter of like a month or two.
And it means something that it's Scottsdale too, because I'm sure if we read more into this guy, that he was probably involved in a lot of real estate stuff. I mean, I'm sure he was probably one of those guys. We'll have to do a little bit more digging here, but basically, what I've heard is that this banking run, aka collapse, is going to come on the heel of a bunch of bubbles popping. Now, one of them will be real estate, and another one is going to be what they call hard assets or commodities, which is gold and silver, essentially, because Fort Knox is empty and every other bank is empty, and J.P. Morgan is out of all physical collateral. They had to transfer it all to China. And the third and final one is going to be the student loan bubble, man. This student loan bubble, I don't know if you've seen, but it's tax season, and TurboTax 2014 will have Obamacare rolled into it, meaning that it's now official. Do you know what I mean? You can't get away from it now. It's now in the software. I mean, I don't know if anybody out there is signed up with Obamacare. Maybe they work two part-time jobs because they can't get one with benefits, and now they're being forced to get this heavily subsidized health care, or you can pay full price, whatever. But if you subsidize it, if you ask for government assistance, it ties in your tax return, and it ties that in with your bank account. So you're completely plugged in. I mean, you are plugged in now. You know what I mean? So the banking collapse combined with an Obamacare takeover and an IRS point of a gun enforcement sends you from being in a free market to a serfdom slavery. Unless you're making a lot of money, you won't be affected. But for people that are hurting and struggling, this is going to put the clamps on you in a real way. Like, you can go to a prison real way. And I'm saying in a year, you can go to prison if you didn't pay your Obamacare. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, I was looking at the cost of it, and it's they make you pay like 1/12 of what your annual premiums would have been or whatever. And once it's all implemented, the penalties increase, and they can actually charge you 2.5% of your gross income, which is actually pretty huge. You know, so it's like okay, you want to go against the rules? You want to try to be civil disobedient? Okay.
So let me,
here's your huge tax levy, and guess what? What happens when you don't pay taxes?
Well, here's what it's going to do. Social Security is empty, and they have this massive baby boomer generation that are all retiring now and are all going to tap in, and there's nothing to pay them. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to take all the tax returns of all these people that work all these part-time and underemployed jobs, because you're going to be forced to have health care. If you didn't sign up, they're just simply going to take your tax return. You're not going to get your tax return next year.
What tax return?
Exactly. So let's think 30, 40 million people, maybe more, are in this boat, and they probably have $1,000-$2,000 a year they get back, you know, on a 402, and then that'll be gone, and they'll go right into the treasury, and they'll refill Social Security, and then the old folks that actually vote and have power won't, I don't know, they wouldn't really riot in nursing homes, would they? But I mean, at least their families won't get mad now. The people that are working in the middle somethings will be happy because grandma can stay in her nursing home. And who gives a shit about these youths? So what's going to happen is either we're going to have a youth revolt, or the most apathetic generation of video game playing, basement living jerk-offs we've ever seen in life.
Yeah, man, I agree, man. And
because they're gonna rob you blind, don't you get that? If you work some shit job and have no health care, they're going to take your tax return. They're just going to take it.
And it's like we really have no choice here. You know, and it's all part of this conditional freedom that we have, where it's where you're basically – you're free as long as you do as we say. You know, and so basically we're kind of like these caged animals in this country now, because literally they're trying to cage us in. They're trying to build all these walls around the country, and it's already hard enough to get in and out of the ports, you know, on a boat. I mean, they already have huge police forces at all the harbors and stuff. I mean, you have no real freedom to travel anymore. That 9/11 took care of all that. You know, we know all about 9/11. So we really are becoming prisoners of this country. Our rights keep becoming more and more eroded. And it's like everyone goes on thinking they're free, but it's just a matter of you're free as long as. As long as you have enough money to where you don't have to worry about all these little permits and all these little fucking sorry for the cussing, but
if you make all these little
nickel and dime taxes that the poor people end up footing the largest percentage of their income towards. I've seen reports that people in the poorest brackets pay 50% of their income in taxes. Why? Because there's all these nickel and dime little taxes, and they really add up when you're broke. You know, and when you're rich, it doesn't really matter. When you're rich, do you ever get pulled over for not having your car registration? No. When you're rich, do you ever get pulled over for not having your car insurance? No, because you can afford all that stuff.
Right.
Now, it's just like with Obamacare. When are we going to get pulled over for not having Obamacare? And what? I can't afford to get the insurance?
Well, here's what
– then I'm going – you know, I'm getting a ticket.
Here's what they'll do, man. They'll – like you said, they're going to do the 112th thing. And – say you're a guy that has two part-time jobs and you make $20,000 a year. That's realistic. There's a lot of people I know that do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a lot of my friends.
You know, they have two 20-hour jobs a week, so they work 40 hours. They make seriously about $20,000 a year. They don't have health care. They don't get benefits from either job because they're part-time. And they get a notice in the mail that says, under the Affordable Health Care Act, you are now required to choose one of our government approved health plans. So you go on the website and you're all, oh, I better do it. I might get in trouble if I don't. And so you don't make a lot of money and you see, I can get my health care for, $18 a month. That looks pretty damn good. It just says to put in my information, Social Security, my bank account, my weight. All right, cool. So $18 a month, but your copay is $50. If anything were to happen to you, you could pay up to $13,000. And basically, it's a piece of paper that's worthless. It's like, what's the Tommy Boy saying? I could put a warranty on a piece of shit, but what good is it if it, you know what I mean? Like, what good is a crappy, cheap healthcare plan when you're already poor and have no money and can't even use it anyway? So they're forcing a worthless insurance on you that you can't afford to use. If you were to use it, not only would it bankrupt you, but you'd be already attached to this by the IRS. So you would be what do they say when they just take out of your paycheck? That would start to happen to you to pay your medical bills back.
Garnishing your
wages.
They would
garnish your wages, and then you wouldn't get your tax return at the end of the year. And I'm also looking at this, some of these, the language in this, and it said that if any time these fines result in more than $10,000, it becomes a misdemeanor, which means you will go to jail for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people that have gone to jail for tax.
It's a debtor prison system. I've said it already. It's going to replace China for the cheap labor for Walmart. They're not going to let the Walmart lifestyle go down because it's GMO central, and it works great for killing all the poor people off. That's what it functions as. It's their supermarket.
Well, dude, I think of it like this. Getting all the poor people sick the way they're doing, it's just another transfer of wealth.
Yeah.
It puts these people get sick. They get diabetes when they're 40, okay? People living down in the ghetto eating terribly.
Even if they eat produce, it's GMO.
Yeah, if they're eating produce, it's probably on, you know, very low quality from GMO stuff. And then they're eating fast food. They're eating on food stamps. And then they're all getting diabetes, they're all getting cancer and all this stuff. Guess what? They're going to be paying out there you know what, for the rest of their lives to pay for the sickness. So what is it? It's just another transfer of wealth.
They won't. We will, because the
and seed, then they're yeah. Now that what they're doing is they're like, okay, well, that's not enough. It's not enough just to ream all these poor people. They don't really have that much money anyway.
Right.
We got to go after all these young people that don't even need insurance. This is the big pharma tax.
Yep.
That's all it is. It's the big pharma tax.
Yep.
And everybody's going to have to pay big pharma, and everybody's going to have to pay these insurance companies. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you're one of those people that are like, I'd rather deal with my health naturally, I'm not going to participate in the mainstream health industry, guess what? Too bad, bro. You got to have it.
You're going to
end up in jail if not.
You have to. And here's the thing, and this is what I'm hoping and praying that happens, is that there's 10 million of me's that wake up in this country, and there becomes a youth revolt, because we need to demand, if we're paying, and let's really break down what we're spending. I think me and you have said before, we really do end up paying about 50% in tax. When you talk about permits, penalties, fees, all the assorted different levies and taxes they throw on you, you really, at the end of the year, if you made 70 grand, you probably really were able to take home 35 of it, okay? Really about 3 grand a month is what you're going to be able to pocket. Now, what does that mean? That means we should have European living standards, okay? The reason we don't is because our military works for the corporate elite to just continue to funnel money up. And the only way to stop that is the brightest and the best. The guys that they're counting on to replace all of these baby boomers that are getting ready to just hang them up, they have to demand universal single payer. They have to. We have to demand we will not be caught with our pants down and sign up for this forced insurance. Instead, what we want is completely free universal health care. Completely free. Anything you need, free. We are wealthy beyond measure as a country. People don't get that, and that can be easily taken care of.
Yeah, man. I mean, we need to look at new situations that we can create. You know, because what's going on now, it's just pure Romanism. It's just pure empire, man. It's imperialism. And what are we doing? We're in 150 different countries or whatever, and we got all these bases, and we're plundering. I mean, you know, there's these reports that, oh, the Chinese are taking the resources in Afghanistan. Honestly, man, I don't believe that one bit.
No.
I think that we have major, major corporations that may be in there where no one really knows that much that they're in there. And they're plundering. That's what empires do. They go in and they plunder. And that's why people in the U.S. have been able to maintain this state of false, you know, a false quality of life that's higher than it should be based on what we actually produce and what we actually do. It's all based on this fake system that's all fiat and it's all empire, you know, and it's extracting resources down the barrel of a – now down the barrel of a drone.
Yep.
You know, and so when we go to reel this stuff in, man, we got to understand that if we don't take care of, you know, how they like to say, trim the fat. Well, thinking about coming from our side of this thing, if we don't really address what's going on, how all the money is being wasted, then we're going to continue to run into these issues, man. And honestly, the major thing that we have to do is totally get rid of bureaucracy and essentially totally just get rid of the whole way that things are done right now. Because in this way, I mean, you could always take a step in the right direction, you know, by restoring the actual Constitution and getting rid of all this bogus stuff. Yeah, that's a step in the right direction, but we've never seen a real constitution that actually existed for more than a couple hundred years, that actually persisted and lived on. Every country that has a constitution ends up failing one way or another. You know, and almost every country right now in the world has a constitution. And look how effed up the world is. Every country, I mean, even a country probably like Somalia probably even has a constitution. I mean,
yeah.
Everyone likes to talk about Somalia like it's like this – this place for libertarians to go live and die. But places that are third world are constitutional republics, quote unquote. And they're all failing, dude. They all rife with the same issues. Yeah, some are a lot bigger than others because ours, unfortunately, ours is at the helm of the largest military force known to the history of mankind. You know, so that's a huge problem.
Well, I mean, it's going to continue to be, you know, the elites of the world have been planning for a transition to what they call an ideologically bereft future, which means that we're all going to be on the same page. There's not going to be arguments of philosophy anymore. We're going to be going in the same direction. The Star Wars future, not Star Wars, but Star Trek, where we'll spread out. But in order to make that happen, somebody's got to win, right? There can't be all these competing factions. And what we're seeing is the end game. And the end game could be the end game for all of us. It could be the end game for one country. It could be the end game for all religions like they want. And it could be the end game for all governments like they want and all countries like they want. And yeah, maybe we will all be unified. Now, my dream is that that does happen itself, but in an organic way as possible, because allowing a small group of people to make decisions for all of us means all of us are goners. Let's just be honest about it. When you say trim the fat, that's the fat they're going to trim. That's the fat they're planning to trim. You know, and I don't want to be a part of that. So our whole process of talking about this stuff and letting out this information about all these calamities is just, let's get enough people in the know so we can make a go at trying to get through this thing together.
You know, what's unfortunate too, man, is honestly, like, a lot of Republicans would actually be down with that plan. I'll tell you why, because these are the people that, a lot of these guys are the people that are saying, right now, that are saying, the reason why we have economic problems is because there's so many people on welfare.
Right.
You know, and which, albeit, yeah, we do have a lot of people on welfare, there shouldn't be so many people on welfare. But they're talking about it as being a drag on the economy and the reason the budget is messed up. No, let's first look at this gigantic foreign policy that we got going on all over the world that's pumping trillions of dollars, literally, since 9/11 into foreign policy and dumping all this money into this military-industrial complex. That's where the cutting needs to start, because we can't just sit there and say we need to balance the budget by cutting food stamps when we got 100 and bases in 150 different countries. How about we close down 50 of those bases, 100 of those bases, and then take all those billions and then start to balance the budget, you know? And then, you know, that's the thing though. People, they're letting the TV drive the conversation.
Right.
Fox News, we all know that they're the ones that are driving this whole anti-food stamp propaganda. While at the same time, the Democrats are equally as guilty because they're not making a peep about Obama's foreign policy and the fact that he's, you know, basically expanded on many of the things that George Bush, you know.
Well, he's George Bush Jr. Jr. Everybody always says that. So that's what he is. He's just another neocon. He's just wearing sheep's clothing. And that's it. The thing that I always like to think about, though, is that despite the best efforts of the cabal at the top of all these you know, genocidists who want to wipe out everyone who they just deem as unworthy, even their puppet agencies now are starting to sing a different tune. Now, I don't know if you've read recently a couple articles, but they stuck out to me. One was that the USDA said, well, after 15 years, we've concluded genetically modified crops are probably a threat to the whole world. That actually came out. Okay? And then the UN said, the current population and the growth expected means that it is unsustainable unless we go back to individual, community-based, organic growing. The UN said this, okay? Now, this means to me a shift in the thinking of the global elite. Now, I think what they're starting to find out is most people are fine with going back to an agrarian existence as long as certain things are met, like the internet and TV and stuff. They don't mind taking public transport and living in giant megacities. And the ones that don't want to do that don't mind living in smaller communities and growing their own food. There is those options available. So we're going to have three breeds of people. We're going to have the super, super rich who are going to go transhuman soon. Okay, there's no stopping that. There's going to be me and you who know what's going on. And I'll probably get into these little micro communities like we always like to envision, because we know that there we can control things and we're safer because the cops don't do shit. And then there's going to be these giant jungles, these concrete massive jungles that are just full of dumbasses, basically. I see the future going that way because of these articles and because Agenda 21 is going to dictate that. So you want to live a healthy life in the future. That's the adaption that's going to take place.
Yeah, man. I mean, it all depends on which way things go, you know, and how it shifts and what we do when people finally realize the hoax that we've been all fooled for the most part, for most of our lives, you know. And unfortunately, it's built right into us because it's all the education, all that stuff supports it. They try to, you know, even at the elementary school level, they're stifling dissent. They're already starting to stifle any kids that question the teachers. I mean, like we were talking about those videos that are online. There's that kid a while back, that kid with the long hair, that he just got up and he just like, dude, this stuff's bullshit. This class is bullshit. You're not teaching anything, you know. And I mean, the kids realize it, man, and that's why there's so many problems with these kids, and that's why our public school system is like way down, like ranked like low, man.
It's
like
46th in the world right now.
Yeah, and I mean,
it was
that's
7th in 1990, I believe. So in 2 decades, we've fallen 40. I mean, this is George W. Bush and No Child Left Behind was the beginning of the dumbification and idiocracy taking place in the country. And we really do have a particular segment that are kind of, you know, a dipshit generation. But thank God these young kids now, man, they just see through this BS.
Yeah, man, and this is the thing. This is the thing that's great. And what I'm seeing is that these kids are realizing it, and it gets to the point now where the propaganda in the schools just doesn't even take effect because they're not even listening. Unfortunately, they're not listening, dude.
Well, it's like this backlash against this, you know, political correctness used to be about protecting individual civil liberties and rights, supposedly, right? Let's not offend anybody, right? Well, guess what? Now there's this anti-political ideology backlash where you see a guy like Piers Morgan fired because he's too government talking head. People don't trust you anymore. If you work for a Fortune 500 company, you're a scumbag. If you work for the government, you're a scumbag. That's the general consensus among the youth. And they're the only people that consume at any real quantity. So when a guy like Piers Morgan's ratings plummet because no one watches Communist News Network at all anyway, I mean, it shows a lot. It shows a lot. You know, when people are now pushing with the whole Arizona bill and understand the distraction it is and understand that people – we don't have a problem with other people, all right? The government just says we do. Don't buy into it. It's bullshit.
Now, we've been talking about this Fukushima deal for a long time, you know, and I'm just hopeful that most of you guys took precautions and you weren't eating too much Pacific stuff and looking into kind of alternative methods of keeping this radiation at bay in your body, because unfortunately on the West Coast and in a lot of other places in the country, you know, we're getting exposed to a lot of radiation. Now we're seeing the mainstream start to grease the wheels. The mainstream starting to talk about the radiation coming over from Fukushima, which means that they're getting ready to start to disclose. Oh, by the way, now the Associated Press is going to finally report on this huge amount of radiation that's been pummeling you guys for a year. Oops,
2 years.
We forgot
two
to mention
years.
It. Well, thankfully, we have the internet and we've been able to talk about it.
Right.
And hopefully, a lot of people listening to the show right now was able to take some kind of precaution, or at least, at the very least, stop eating Pacific seafood. You know, at the very least. And next week, we're going to try to get someone on that's going to be able to talk about how to detox from this radiation stuff that's coming.
Because it's in everything now. If it's in kelp, trust me, it's in everything. It's on all consumer products.
Yeah, man, it's just one of these things that we're going to be having to deal with for the next couple of years too. It's not going to stop. It's not going to just one day. It's not going to turn off. And even if they did turn it off, guess what? It's still in that ocean for a couple of years. It's going to be in there for a while.
Cannabis and zeolite.